As you're turning to the Gospel of St. Luke this morning, you can turn specifically to Luke chapter 19 today. We will be looking for a little while at the story of Palm Sunday, of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, riding into Jerusalem, triumphant as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What I want to preach for you this morning is entitled, Always Ready. We are in the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 19, and let's pray and then we'll start. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name that you would fill my mouth. And I pray that, Lord, what would be spoken today would be heard, not only in the hearing of the ears, but in the very heart. Bless the preaching of your word. Bring life to your word as you've promised. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. I'm going to read the story of the triumphal entry today. Luke chapter 19, and we're going to begin reading at verse 28. And it says this, Luke 19, verse 28, from the Modern English Version, it says, and when he had said this, he went before them, ascending up to Jerusalem. This is speaking of Jesus. And when he came near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go over into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Those who were sent went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord has need of it, and they brought it to Jesus. And they threw their garments on the colt, and they set Jesus on it. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the street. Another gospel writer says they spread these different palm branches as well. And when he was coming near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with loud voices for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered them, I tell you, if these should be silent, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he came near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known even today what things would bring you peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and press you in on every side. They will dash you and your children within you to the ground. They will not leave one stone upon another within you because you did not know the time of your visitation. Always ready. This portion of Scripture, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, as I've already stated, is the scene in which Jesus now, riding on this donkey, is entering into Jerusalem, and he's coming in from the Mount of Olives down into a valley, and then he would ride up and ascend somewhat into the temple area or Jerusalem. Jerusalem itself is on a hill. Jerusalem is on a hill, then there's a small valley, and then you have the Mount of Olives. If you ever have the privilege of going for a trip to Israel, and you have one of the tour guides, I am more sure than not that they will take you to that very place of the Mount of Olives, for it's from the Mount of Olives that you can see a panoramic view of the city of Jerusalem. On this day, Jesus has told two of his disciples to go and get this colt, and the miracle of that is without description. I mean, he tells them exactly what's going to happen, and it does. They bring the colt to Jesus, and they put their robes over the colt. They put Jesus on it, and Jesus begins to ride down from the Mount of Olives into the valley, and there's a crowd of people there. The crowd of people there begins to rejoice at the presence of this miracle worker. It says here that they had even known that it was someone that had done mighty miracles in their sight. And so they begin to cry out and begin to rejoice. And what's interesting is that this crowd knew who Jesus was. There were some in the crowd that didn't like Jesus. There were some that would despise the very thing that is happening there in Israel during this time. But many of them are rejoicing. They have their palm branches. They're breaking them off the palm trees, and they're waving them in the air. They're strawing them along the way, and they're making way for the king. But what's interesting as a side note to this is this, is that many of those had heard of a great miracle that Jesus had done. And that miracle was the raising of Lazarus from the grave. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came out of that grave walking, having been bound and left for dead for 4 days. They said, "Are you sure, Jesus? He stinks by now." As his body was decomposing there in the tomb. Jesus was a miracle worker. Jesus had done mighty works, and many around the area of Israel had heard the many great things he had done. And by this time, many believed that he was the Messiah. And all that would take place here on this descent from the Mount of Olives was spontaneous. They didn't read the scripture that the king would be riding upon them on a colt. They didn't read Zechariah and say, "Oh, this is that." They didn't do that. But spontaneously, as they see Jesus riding into Jerusalem on that donkey on this day, they begin to rejoice. They begin to praise the Lord. They begin to thank God for Jesus, and there's rejoicing in the house. People all around are rejoicing in the Lord, and the Pharisees, who should have known exactly what was happening here, are the very ones that miss the whole thing. They're listening to the crowd saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." There were hosannas being shouted. It's not in this account, but every gospel writer has this account in their writing. In Matthew 21 or Mark 11, John chapter 12, all of them give the account of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, or what we celebrate as Palm Sunday. There's great rejoicing, and it's interesting that it's the ones that the Pharisees thought were blind that saw, and it was the ones that would claim to see that were blind. And so Jesus is there riding this donkey down, descending, going slow, I'm sure, the rejoicing and the crowds of people. And the scripture says that one of the Pharisees tells Jesus, "Rebuke your disciples." And he says to him, "I tell you that if these should be silent, the stones would immediately cry out." And I'm not going to belabor the point of the stone crying out, but that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Thank God there were enough people praising the Lord and rejoicing in his presence that the rocks didn't have to do it. As we all know, a rock has no vocal cords. A rock has no life to it. But Jesus said, if someone isn't going to do it, well, then the rocks will. Such a significant time. Such an amazing opportunity to acknowledge that the Messiah has come. And yet within that group, and in Jerusalem itself, the very city that he is entering into, many of them would be blind to the very thing that is happening in their midst. They wouldn't even be able to comprehend what was going on. And if any city should have been able to comprehend what was going on, it should have been Jerusalem, and it should have been those religious leaders. But instead, they're saying, "Tell your disciples to be quiet." They're fuming in their envy and their jealousy of Jesus. And sadly, there is a whole group who is going to miss this thing. The scripture says as he continues his descent, he ends up right at the foot, at the base of the mountain where Jerusalem rests. And the scripture says that as he came near in verse 41, he beheld the city. That means he took that panoramic view of the city of Jerusalem up on the hill. And it says he wept over it. At such a time of great rejoicing, when he should be happy that the people are recognizing who he is, he ends up at the very town that will welcome the king, and they don't see him. They don't recognize him. And the scripture says he looks at that city and weeps over it. Why? Why is he weeping? Why isn't he just excited with the rejoicing of those that are with him? Instead, he sees the city and begins to weep. And the scripture says that he speaks to the city. You see, the religious elite were there. Those that thought they knew God were there. And it says, if you had known even today what things would bring you peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. When he should be saying blessing to Jerusalem, instead, he's saying sadly what is going to come their way. And in their blindness, they don't even realize what they are seeing. He says, for the days will come upon you, Jerusalem, when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and press you in on every side. They will dash you and your children within you to the ground. They will not leave one stone upon another within you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Palm Sunday is a time that we celebrate Jesus, the Messiah. It's a time when you and I begin to wave those palm branches with those in faith. We look back to that wonderful time of Jesus being hailed as Messiah by those that had their eyes opened. But sadly, it's also a reminder that there were many that did not know Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that on this Palm Sunday, there are still many in our world today that may go into a church and they might even lift up a palm branch and wave it in the air, but their hearts are closed and their eyes blind to who Jesus is. They're doing the religious thing. They're doing what they think is right. They attend church because they know that is the right thing to do, but in their hearts, they don't know Him. In their hearts, they're like the blind Pharisees who don't understand why people worship, who don't really even know Him in their hearts. They're blind. And we're living in a time, and we're a generation that needs to know Jesus more than ever. There are so many things happening in our world today, and all of these things are happening in some way to kind of wake people up. There are things happening all around us, significant things. And God is, in a way, bringing us to the place where He actually comes to Jerusalem again. Jesus is going to come and He is going to enter into Jerusalem through the same gate He did on this day in the future. And when Jesus comes back, He will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I'm asking you now, are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus coming? You see, we must always be ready. We must never grow tired or weary in our pursuit of God, so that when He comes, we are awake and we are ready for His coming. There were many in Jerusalem whose hearts were closed. They didn't even realize the significance. And so He came in and He says, if you had known, if you had only known what belonged for your peace, and yet now it's all hid from your eyes. Sadly, many in Jerusalem and many Jews of that day rejected Jesus as their Messiah. And this very scripture came to pass in 70 AD when the Romans encircled Jerusalem and literally not one stone was left upon another. You can look at photographs even today of the walls around Jerusalem and see huge stones just thrown about. Remnants of the original temple. The reality was is that not one stone was left upon another in fulfillment of what Jesus said. And yet I'm here to tell you that we must be ready for even the reality of Jesus coming to establish His kingdom here on earth. And I ask again, are you ready? Or were we like the world out there who was blind? On the other hand, if you are ready, are you concerned about those who are blind? That many will be totally oblivious to the fact that Jesus is coming back. We must tell them that Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. Amen? But we must be a people that are always ready. Turn really fast to Luke 21. Just should be about a page or so forward in your Bible. And I want us to read verses 25 and on. Jesus was there in Jerusalem, and he would go into Jerusalem and preach the gospel, minister to those in Jerusalem during the day, but in the evening he would go back into the Mount of Olives with his disciples. They would spend time together and talk. On one of those evenings, as they were sitting there on the Mount of Olives, the scripture says that they were looking at the city of Jerusalem. I can imagine how it was probably lit in the night. The city of Jerusalem was built with limestone in such a way that there was a reflective kind of light there. And so light would reflect off the walls that sometimes would look glorious. And so the scripture says at the beginning of this that they looked at the city and how beautiful it was in verse 5. And it says, as for these things that you see, the day will come when not one stone will be left one on another that will not be thrown down. And so they begin to ask him about this, and he begins to describe to them the time of his return. But in the end of all of this account, it's called the Olivet Discourse because he was on the Mount of Olives. He begins to tell them the importance of being ready. And I'm here to tell you that as we celebrate Palm Sunday and thank God for the holiday of it, we must be a people that are always ready in these latter days. Amen. Verse 25 says, "There will be signs in the sun and on the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men fainting from fear and expectation of what is coming on the inhabited earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near." Keep in mind that it wouldn't have been just a few days before this that Jesus was being hailed as the Messiah by many outside Jerusalem. Yet now, many are very blind to the reality of who he is, and he's telling his own, "Be ready. Because when I come back, many things will be happening on the earth, and a lot of that is the reality of what's coming." And he says, "Then when all these things are coming to pass, you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." And what he says is this, "Be ready." Look at verse 29. "And he told them this parable, 'Look at the fig tree and all trees. When they are sprouting leaves already, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So in like manner, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." And so he's saying, look, these things are a precursor to what is coming. These are a sign to the reality that the kingdom of God to come to earth is coming very soon. His kingdom is near. And I believe that we are seeing many of these things happening right now. I was driving the other day with Brother Eli Duran, pastor of the Antonito Church. Showed him the other building. I was talking about it. He says, "I want to see it." So I showed it to him. Praise the Lord. But as we were driving, he made an interesting statement. He says, you know, I really can't say that I've heard about so many tornadoes happening like I'm hearing today. Because I had told him we almost got caught by a tornado when we were coming back from Texas. And so he says, you know, there's even the threat of tornadoes here in Colorado and such. And I know it's happened in the past too, but we're seeing the increase, aren't we? We're seeing people questioning. They may say it's global warming. Some will say, ha, to global warming. Be that as it may, weather patterns and things like that are getting worse, aren't they? It's on record the reality of all these things. One moment they're saying it's the hottest year, another time they're saying it's one of the coldest. Amen? This year being one of the colder ones. Winter cyclones with snow and thunder. Snow thunderstorms. It's unusual, isn't it? But so be it. That's what's happening. I was listening the other day. Someone said there's one cyclone going to pass through and another one right behind it. And you're like, gee, have mercy. Are we ready? Well, look what it says in verse 34. It says, take heed to yourselves. I want you to get your finger up like this, and I want you to point it to yourself. It's not me pointing at anybody. I want you to, look, it says, take heed to yourselves. This is a word to me. Amen? He says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts become burdened by excessiveness and drunkenness and anxieties of life. And that day comes on you unexpectedly. For as a snare, it will come on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Therefore, watch always and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will happen and to stand before the Son of Man. So it's going to come like a snare. It's a surprise, a snare. It's interesting how the word that describes what we call the rapture, the catching away, is described as a violent snatching. All of that to say, there were a lot of people in Jesus' day that were not ready for his coming. Many of those that should have known better, like the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they did have an expectation that this was the time for the Messiah. But when they saw Jesus, they said, no, this can't be him. The Messiah that we believe is coming is going to be a political leader. He's going to make us rich. He's going to make us the strongest country on the face of the earth. And yet Jesus didn't come to do that. He didn't come to save them from Rome. He came to save them from eternal destruction. And they missed it. And yet in our day, Jesus is going to come back. And we must be ready. And so, we must be a people that are always ready. 24/7. We must be ready because Jesus is coming back. And we must live our lives for Him. So that when He comes, we recognize it. Amen? Jesus says here, don't let the excessiveness of your life or drunkenness or anxieties of life come upon you so much so that that day comes upon you unexpectedly. Another portion in Matthew 24 or Mark 13, it describes, if you had known at what hour the thief would break into your house and steal, you would have stayed up to watch. Amen? You would have made sure that no thief's going to come into your house. And he's saying the same thing, watch, be aware, be awake, always ready. There were people in Jesus' day that weren't ready, and sadly, many of them died. When Rome encircled Jerusalem, they say that the dead bodies that happened when Rome infiltrated and the Jews rebelled against Rome, that there were so many dead bodies on the ground that you couldn't even see the earth. There were so many that died during that time that it was beyond what we can even comprehend today. But the death and the reality of it was so horrible. And many of those that died were people that saw Jesus on a donkey and yet didn't recognize him. He came unexpectedly and yet came so obviously. Think about it. He came so obvious to everyone and yet so unexpectedly to everyone. Thank God for those that were rejoicing with those palm branches. Amen. Thank God for those that knew what was going on and began to rejoice in the presence of God and say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Thank God for those that are ready. I believe that we have many of those here in this church. Amen. Because he is coming back. When Jesus returns in the second coming, he's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives. Same place. And he's going to go into Jerusalem as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you look at the pictures of the wall of Jerusalem today on the east side, you'll notice that there are entrance gates, a wall that has gates to enter the wall, and there's an entrance to go into the city of Jerusalem, but right now it's all blocked in. You can see the form of the doorway, the entering in, but it's all closed up. Well, there's coming a day when that wall that's within is going to be removed, and that door will be set. And Jesus is coming back, and he's going to go right into Jerusalem through those very gates. Are we ready for his coming? Are we living for the Lord now? Are we seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, is there things in my life that I need to get right? Is there things that I must do to be right before you? I want to be always ready. Or I want to be living ready, right? Living my life daily, but ready. Amen? And that's how we need to be. Go to work and do your best at work. Care for your families and love them with all of your hearts. Do your best. Do all these things that we're supposed to do as human beings in order to live and to be, but don't do it with those as distractions and not be ready. Be ready and live for Jesus. Amen? Be ready and live your life for the glory of God, wherever you are and whatever you do. Let God be praised through your life. Amen? But be ready. And we won't be like those people that would say, tell your disciples to be quiet and the potential for rocks to be crying out. No, let it be our hearts that are saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's stand.